Hello and welcome to our site once again as this morning we return to our series Biblical Answers to Vital Questions. Biblical Answers to Vital Questions. And this morning, the vital question we want to answer is, why do I exist? Why do I exist? Well, I hope you have your Bible handy. And if you do, turn in the middle of your Bible first to Psalm 29 and then to Psalm 104. Psalm 29, David the psalmist says, "Ascribe to the Lord, O mighty ones, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness." That's a key verse for us today. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Psalm 104, wonderful psalm. Turn to it now if you can. "Praise the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, you are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty. He wraps himself in light as with a garment. He stretches out the heavens like a tent. He lays the beams of his upper chambers on their waters. He makes the clouds his chariot, rides on the wings of the wind. He makes winds his messengers, flames of fire his servants. Verse 10, he makes springs pour water into the ravines. It flows between the mountains. They give water to all the beasts of the field. The wild donkeys quench their thirst. The birds of the air nest by the waters. They sing among the branches. He waters the mountains from his upper chambers. The earth is satisfied by the fruit of his work. God makes grass to grow for the cattle and plants for man to cultivate and brings forth food from the earth, wine that gladdens the heart of man, oil to make his face shine, bread that sustains his heart. The trees of the Lord are well watered, the cedars of Lebanon that he planted. There the birds make their nests. The stork has its home in the pine trees. The high mountains belong to the wild goats. The crags are a refuge for the conies." Verse 24, "How many are your works, O Lord? In wisdom you made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. There is the sea, vast and spacious, teeming with creatures beyond number, living things both large and small. There the ships go to and fro, and the Leviathan which you formed to frolic there. They all look to you to give them their food at the proper time. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are satisfied with good things. When you hide your face, they are terrified. When you take away their breath, they die and return to the dust. When you send your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the earth. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works." Just so far, and may God bless his word to us today. His word that's living and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. The entrance of God's word gives light. Every scripture is God-breathed and useful. And so, Lord, speak to us now as we wait upon you in your word. Here's our vital question for today. Here's a vital question if ever there was one. Why do I exist? Why in the world am I here? Why is anyone here? The why question is, of course, different to the how question. For the how question, there are two basic answers, really. You either exist, my friend, because you evolved from the chance conflagration of atoms in the meaningless and mysterious ways of chance history millions or billions of years ago, or God exists, and you are a valued result of his creative genius. As Christians, we can present biblical answers to both questions, the how and the why questions, but we can't ever fully understand either of them until we get to heaven. Our question today is not the how question, it is the why question. Why do I exist? Why does any human being exist? I'm so glad our theme is Biblical Answers to Vital Questions, for without the Bible, we would be in the realm of philosophy and even wild speculation. With the Bible, we're in the realm of revealed truth from God. So here are our presuppositions as we start. We believe God is, and we believe God has spoken, and God still speaks through His Word, the Bible. God has spoken fully and finally in Jesus Christ, His Son, our Lord, who died and rose again for our salvation. But still today, God speaks through His Word, the Bible. God can speak through nature. He can speak through our circumstances. He can speak whatever way He chooses. But primarily, God speaks to us through Scripture. Sad thing is, you can't get past the third chapter of the Bible, the first book there, Genesis, before you learn that God's original purpose for creating man was shattered by the entrance of evil, what the Bible calls sin. The original purpose of man's creation ceased to be fulfilled when our first parents, as free agents, used their freedom to disobey their Creator. In that tragic moment in the Garden of Eden, the why question of man's existence was seriously messed up. People who are not reconciled to God cannot adequately answer the question, why do I exist? All their attempts to answer that question will be from the vantage point of their fallen humanity, their seriously impaired mind. But let's be the first to admit that even as Christians with an open Bible in our hand, we can only give a partial answer. The full reason for our existence will only be revealed when we are with the Lord. Until then, as the Apostle Paul puts it in 1 Corinthians 13:12, we know in part. God alone can give us an adequate answer to the question, why do I exist? What we do know is that everything God made, including man, was for a particular end. In Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 4, we read, "The Lord works out everything for His own ends. The Lord works out everything for His own ends, even the wicked for the day of disaster." But the question remains extremely relevant because so much of life seems to be utterly futile. Psalm 103 verses 15 and 16, "As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. The wind blows and it's gone, and its place remembers it no more." James chapter 4 and verse 14, "What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes." Be that as it may, friend, the first clues that provide an answer to our question are found in the book of Genesis, the book of beginnings. We exist because God, who has created the world and everything in it, created men and women to inhabit the earth, and not only inhabit it, but have dominion over it. What a mess we've made and continue to make of our stewardship of the earth, and everyone and everything in it and on it. Man was made to work, care for, and cultivate the earth and enjoy it, enjoy the wonderworks of an ever-present Creator and Sustainer. Look how God loves His creation and His creatures. As we read in Psalm 104, verse 10, "He makes springs to pour water into the ravines. It flows between the mountains. They give water to all the beasts of the field. The wild donkeys quench their thirst. The birds of the air nest by the waters. They sing among the branches. He waters the mountains from His upper chambers. The earth is satisfied by the fruit of His work. He makes grass grow for the cattle and plants for man to cultivate and brings forth food from the earth, wine that gladdens the heart of man, oil to make his face shine, bread that sustains his heart. The trees of the Lord are well watered, the cedars of Lebanon that he planted. There the birds make their nests, the stork has its home in the pine trees. The high mountains belong to the wild goats, the crags are refuge for the conies. How many are your works, O Lord? In wisdom you made them all, the earth and all of its creatures. You send forth your spirit and they are created, and you renew the face of the earth. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works. I will sing to the Lord all of my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. May my meditation be pleasing to him as I rejoice in the Lord. One thing is certain. Adam was created to know God, to know him in a personal, God-like, intimate relationship. He was made in God's image and likeness, unique amongst all the creatures God made, a little lower than the angels, crowned with glory and honor, Psalm 8, the friend of God. Adam was made by God to live in a devoted dependence on God, and not only created to know God, but to do his will, obediently, faithfully, and intentionally. Here's the wonderful thing. Adam was created with a capacity to enjoy an eternal relationship with God, in which he would bring God glory and joy. But then came the tragedy of the fall, when Adam rebelled against God, together with Eve. They lost their way. They not only forfeited their closeness to God, they lost the wonder of their true identity. They lost their understanding of God's purpose. The why of their existence was no longer clear. It's never been clear to man since that day. And that fallenness, that shame, that estrangement, that confusion as to the purpose of their existence was passed down from Adam and Eve to the whole fallen human race that would populate the earth. No longer would the perfect will of God be done on earth as it is in heaven. The entire human race would be like sheep gone astray. Instead of peace, there would be struggle. In place of joy, there would be sorrow now. In place of peace, there would be conflict. Instead of being God-centered and like God, man would be self-centered and devilish. Man's way would displease God, and instead of worshiping the Creator, man would worship created things. Man would always be striving to fulfill the God-shaped void in his heart, filling that void with every conceivable religion, practice, and pleasure, not knowing that his greatest need was to be reconciled to God. How privileged we are to know the good news, what man needs but does not deserve, that God himself has provided through his eternal Son, our Lord Jesus. God's original design will be restored, but only in the lives of those who are reconciled to him through the Lord Jesus Christ. This means the question, why do I exist, is a noble and relevant question even to those who are not reconciled to God. It's a good question for them to ask. It's a vital question for them to ask. If you don't know the Lord, my friend, you need to know him in order to know the answer to the question, why do I exist? Oh, that people would be willing to hear the answer and give their lives in response to it. Because when you do, you find the answer to all of life's biggest questions. His name is Jesus. Only when you are reconciled to God can you discover the wonder, the full wonder, the awesome wonder of God's purpose for your life, not only for time but for all eternity. Reject God's gracious provision of reconciliation through Jesus Christ, who died and rose again for your salvation, and you choose a path of ultimate destruction and eternal hell. But once you are reconciled to God, you are positioned not only to understand your purpose and destiny, but to walk into it. Then there is the absolute clarity about your purpose and destiny. You are here to glorify God and enjoy him forever in a love relationship with Jesus. When you understand what Christ has done for you, is doing for you, and will do for you, you surrender your whole life as a living sacrifice to God, to be holy and acceptable to him. For this is your spiritual worship and your reasoned service, not to be squeezed into this world's mold, but to be transformed by the renewal of your mind, so that you can understand, appreciate, and enjoy God's perfect will for your life. With the help of the Holy Spirit, the Christian is transformed into the likeness of Jesus with ever-increasing glory. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. You live to please the Lord, not yourself, to reflect His character and to do His bidding. When you know who Jesus is and you respond to His love, you become a disciple who makes disciples. You join Jesus in His mission of redemption. You receive the Holy Spirit of God, His gifting and His enabling power. You will be a light in a dark place. You will be salt in a decaying society. Nothing will be wasted. Even your testings and trials, your sufferings and your sorrows, God will use to purify and strengthen your faith. All you have to do is keep your eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher, the pioneer and perfecter of your faith. You will live a purpose-driven life when you know the Lord. As you fulfill God's purpose for your life, He will fill your life with an overwhelming sense of divine purpose. He will fill every passing day with eternal significance. Instead of laying up treasures on earth that will kiss you goodbye when you die, you will lay up treasure in heaven, where eternal rewards await you in the very presence of God. Let me say it again. Those outside of a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, those outside the family of God, those who have never experienced redemption and regeneration, never been born again into the family of God through faith in Jesus, may well ask the question, why do I exist? And find that they have no real answer, certainly no watertight answer. They have to make up their own answer. As those who know the Lord and know that we are His blood-bought children through the redeeming love of Jesus, we have to admit that only when we are with the Lord will we fully know the complete answer to our purpose and our destiny. But we already know all that we need to know. Here is the biblical answer to our question, why do I exist? Learn the answer from Jesus Himself in what we call His high priestly prayer in John 17. In the first instance, we exist to know God. Jesus prays that we may know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom You have sent. In verse 26 of John 17, Jesus prays, I have made You known, Father, to them, My disciples, My followers, and I will continue to make You known, in order that the love You have for Me may be in them, and that I Myself might be in them. Friends, we exist to know God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That is the primary purpose of our existence. It always was. Arising out of that, we can say that our chief purpose in life is to glorify God. Psalm 29, verse 2, ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. We glorify God in praise and worship. We glorify Him when we love Him with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength, with all our mind. Deuteronomy 6:4, the life we live in the body is to glorify God. 1 Corinthians 6:20. Even the most basic necessities of life, like eating and drinking, must be done to the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 10:31. As the moon reflects the glory of the sun, we are to reflect as Christians the glory of God. We are to let our light so shine before others that they see our good works and glorify our Father, who is in heaven. The Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:9, we make it our goal to please Him. What a wonderful epitaph to have on your tombstone one day. I made it my aim to please Him, the Lord Jesus Christ. As Christians, we exist not for ourselves, but for the glory of God. And the only way that can happen is for the Holy Spirit of Jesus to set us apart for God and fill us with His power and grace and love. Only when Saul of Tarsus encountered Jesus and was broken in repentance and then filled with the Spirit of Jesus, could he say, I've discovered the reason for my existence? He put it this way to the church in Galatia, I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Why do I exist as a Christian? To know Christ and to make him known. To be Christ's ambassador, sharing the ministry of reconciliation, advancing Christ's kingdom on earth, along with all the other members of his body, the church, sharing the good news about Jesus, Savior, Redeemer, and King. Why do I exist as a Christian? To run the particular race that God has assigned me, with my eyes fixed on Jesus, and finish the course. To be able to say with the Apostle Paul, I consider my life worth nothing to me, if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. Acts 20 and verse 24. We as Christians exist to fulfill the high and holy and heavenly calling of God in our lives, to love God, to love people, and to make disciples. Our existence has a divine and eternal purpose. Therefore, our deepest longing is to be able to say one day with the Apostle Paul, I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I've completed my race and I've kept the faith. And henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord will give me on that day of his appearing. Our deepest longing is to be able to say with our last breath the words of the Lord Jesus, Father, I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work that you gave me to do. Why do I exist? I exist to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. How can I do that? I can only do it if I am his child, if I have responded to his invitation, the invitation of Jesus who says, Come to me, all who are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The invitation of the Christian gospel, repent and believe the good news. Turn from your own way. Turn to God in sorrow over your independence and rebellion, self-centeredness and sin, and ask the Lord Jesus, who died on the cross for your sins, to forgive you, to set you free, to come into your life as your Lord and your Savior, and ask the Holy Spirit of God to introduce you to Jesus and to fill you with his love. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that we don't have to be in any doubt whatsoever as to our purpose and destiny, as to the reason of our existence. I pray today, if there's anyone listening to this message who does not know Christ, who does not know the time and eternal purpose of their existence, that they may turn to you in response to your great love and find in Jesus the way, the truth, and the life. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, our Heavenly Father, and the communion and comfort of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.
Christ in me, the hope of principle that stands the test of time.